Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Geez, it seems like such a busy day already, and it's not even 9 o'clock yet here at the studios of Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn McGeek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 19th, 2012, episode 319, sponsored by FindAJudge.com. Good morning, horse people.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
I love the post that Robert Dunn, our listener, posted on our Facebook page because he says, Jamie, I just compared our temperatures. Here in Minneapolis, we are currently 57 degrees colder than you in Phoenix, and that's very depressing since your temperature is only 46. And yes, it's the actual temperature, but the wind chill in Minneapolis, he says, is 32 below zero this morning.
Ah! Holy crap!
Robert, why do you live there? Good Lord. I don't
exactly
care how great my job is.
Move.
Yeah. 46
hey,
is the current temperature.
There has got to be a children's theater he could work at in Miami or Tampa or Orlando. He could go to work for Disney.
Yeah, there's other things you could do. I just, you know, it says 46 right now for Phoenix, but it is only like it's about 6:30 when he posted this. It's only going to be, Robert, it's only going to get up to 72 today. So really, just enjoy. Oh, wait. 72 is awesome. I forgot.
Yeah, 72 what? Above, still better than 32 below.
Yeah, by far. It sucks in the summer here, but dear God, the winters are amazing. And the winter affords me the time to go outside and play with my horses constantly during the day, which is very common. This is going somewhere. Glenn, I haven't told you anything, but I would like for you to comment. Did you read that story that I posted for you down below? It's a story about horses last May. It's an old story. Shouldn't make any difference. Did you read it?
In our show notes?
Yeah. Just read the first little sentence there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hold on a second. Show notes are long today. Nearly 20 starving... Is that horses, that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Rainbow Valley, Arizona. Nearly 20 starving horses were seized by Maricopa County Sheriff's deputies in the West Valley Tuesday, and more than a dozen were found dead on a ranch property.
There is a place, Rainbow Valley is much like Tonopah when I talk about how you can buy, you see really bad Craigslist ads. There was 20 horses that were taken by the sheriff's department last May, and it was a big story here. And if we post the link to this, you can actually see the ABC video that they did. There was a helicopter overhead. They were filming down below, and they took 20 horses. There was a pile of deceased horses. There were deceased horses in their stalls, and from what I hear, there was a guy that lived there that would buy a bale of hay every once in a while and would walk down the aisle and feed each horse a flake. And if he ran out before he got to the end, those horses didn't eat. And it apparently got really, really, really bad enough for, obviously, horses to die and the police to come and to capture all these horses. And the guy's in jail right now. So the happy ending is that he is in jail and he's never allowed to own horses ever again. This is a man named Terrell Redding. 20 starving horses were seized by the sheriff's department. 9 of them perished. This is how bad this place was. Okay. I got a phone call yesterday from my veterinarian, and this is the vet. Now, I would like you to know that the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, Glenn, is where Jet came from. He was one of a horse seized, not in this particular seized day, but he was seized a couple years ago from kind of the same situation. Well,
he was actually in jail at the time you got him.
Yes, I adopted him from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. I got a phone call yesterday morning after the show, and I had just told you guys I had an extra stall. You know, and I should have kicked myself. I shouldn't have said that. Because I got a phone call from my vet yesterday, and apparently, of the 20 that were seized, 9 died, and there was 11 horses that were still at the Sheriff's Department. And my vet called me and said, listen, you got to go down there. He goes, you have done such an amazing job with Jet. You've got to go down there and you've got to see this horse.
Is she giving you free vet care forever?
And I said, well, tell me about the horse. She goes, okay, well, he's going to be 4 this year. And he is a chestnut thoroughbred with a star. And, of course, that melts my heart because I had a chestnut thoroughbred with a star for years, 18 years. She tells me to go down and take a look at him. They are really trying to find homes for some of these horses because they're running out of space, obviously, you know, in this economy and what all the stuff that's going on here. They're trying to get many of the horses adopted out. And, you know, when I went down there and I adopted Jet, the adoption fee was $400. $400 to adopt a horse, that's pretty darn cheap. So I said, okay, we'll go down there. So I tell Chad, and Chad is, shockingly enough, he is like, let's do it. Let's go look, you know, look at Jet now. You know, maybe you'll find a diamond in the rough. And she had told me about one particular horse, but I did want to look at all of them, you know, and just kind of see what's down there. So I called the sheriff's department. They're like, oh, yeah, Jamie, you took the other horse. Yeah, come on down. No problem. They escorted me, you know, directly in. But I was talking to Chad, and I said, okay, well, let's get going. He goes, no, I'm going to hook up the trailer first. I said, no,
he knows
honey.
You. What do you do? You must have done something really good. Chad's being awful good about this.
He is such a bleeding heart. I just had no idea. So I said, no, don't hook up the trailer, honey. If we find something, we can go back and get it later. And he just looks at me. And he goes, really? If you find something, you think you want to leave it down there, you will get your happy butt in your truck and you will drive the 40 miles back to the house, hook up the trailer, and drive the 40 miles back to the jail. I go, all right, hook it up. So we drive down to the sheriff's department in down. I mean, this is like Tent City. This is the jail. There's fences and then there's razor wire everywhere. And there is a horse facility in there. When I say horse facility, there's like pens, about 12, maybe 12 by 24 stalls. And I've seen these before because that is where Jet came from. Chad had never seen this. The inmates, because of the sheriff's department here, they really are into embarrassing and humiliating the inmates. Yeah. Well, the inmates wear pink underwear and pink socks, and they wear like Hamburglar-type black and white stripes. They're all in black and white stripes and pink shirts. So it was a little chilly yesterday, so they all had their black and white stripes on, but over their black and white striped onesie, they had pink sweatshirts. So imagine a bunch of men with tattoos everywhere, big holes in their ears from the piercings. It's really tough, gruff-looking guys because the inmates take care of all the horses. So I guess I got to make this story a little shorter because we have a guest coming up. Long story short, I looked at a whole bunch of horses, and yes, the four-year-old thoroughbred chestnut with a star is currently in my backyard.
Same one your vet told you about?
The same one. I did. If they would, there was another horse there, and if the court case, sometimes the court case is pending, they aren't adoptable, I'd have brought two home. Let me just tell you, I did tell them, I said, when this one's available, call me back. Nice, sweet, now, sweet, sweet thoroughbred. Questions.
Now, you sent
please.
Me pictures. This was a while back that they actually confiscated them, because in the pictures and the little video you sent, he looked like he wasn't starving. I mean, he looked in pretty good shape.
He's been there since May. Apparently, he's put on 300 pounds. He was 625 pounds when they confiscated him. Now, the deal is, I look at him, and he's 4 years old. He'll be four next week. So I actually adopted him, right before his birthday. He's four next week, but he looks two. He's very... excuse me, he's 15-2, but he looks like a 15-2 hand 2-year-old. Just the very thin bones and very fine body, and I'm hoping he'll fill out when he starts to get
a little bit gangly yet, like a 2-year-old would be.
Yeah, exactly. He's 2 years old, but in a 4-year-old, with a 4-year-old birthday. So he's going to be an interesting one. But yesterday when we brought him home, I got him home around 11 a.m. and put him in the stall. He is so sweet. Okay, he is so sweet, Glenn. He leads perfectly. Everybody was telling me, oh, he won't get in the trailer. The last one to leave here wouldn't get in the trailer. They don't want to leave. I literally take the lead rope, and I have a little grain in my hand. I walk up, and he jumps in. He's like, let's go. Come out. Get me out of here. I bring him home. And I let him settle in for a couple hours, and then I brought all the horses in, I turned him out. And this is the first time that this horse has probably been turned out his entire life. And he lived in this pen, born in this pen, and then went to jail. So I did the best I could. I mean, I couldn't control him too much, and I thought, well, if he hurts himself, at least he'll hurt himself being happy. But he actually didn't hurt himself, and I turned him out, and it took 3 minutes for him to realize that he was loose. And it was just awesome. So I sent you the video of him streaking by, and I also sent you a picture of him, Glenn, so we can post those up on Facebook. Now, the whopping adoption fee of $400 that I paid for Jet, I get there and I'm like, what's the adoption fee, just kind of curious. He goes, I don't know, how about $50? I was like, what? So for $50, I ended up coming home with a thoroughbred who is 4 years old, pretty much doesn't know anything. And so that is the story of our new guy. He doesn't have a name.
Does Chad give me permission to congratulate you? So he's okay with this, I can congratulate you?
Oh, yes. He is so excited.
Congratulations, Jamie.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, he's very excited. And, after getting the horse from the sheriff's department and Jet and having, the emotional and the physical issues, this horse really doesn't have those. He's pretty darn sweet. So I'm excited to give him a go and give him a home and see what happens. And can you imagine how many good, fun stories I'm going to have to tell you about another horse that came out of jail? Oh, God.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
She did
post
really
a video. So Robert Dunn wanted to see the video and the pictures. Jennifer posted the video up there so you can see the little horse, little guy running by at full speed.
On today's findajudge.com Thursday edition, we'll find out how world champion mounted shooter and Western radio show co-host Tammy Serrance made out at last week's Riders for Helmets Symposium, which she attended. Cowboys and safety helmets. Fist fights may have broken out, so we'll see how that went. Next up, thanks to observant listener Christina, we will be chatting with an emergency dispatcher turned crime scene investigator. Really fun little story that none of us know the ending to. It's all going to be a surprise. And to round out the morning, we will be finding out about the rule changes that made it through the meat grinder that is the USEF annual meeting. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And it's time for our daily video. Like, after you tell us that story, Jamie, we just can end the show. I mean, there's nothing else to compare to it. So it's like start out with the big news of the day, and then everything else seems kind of mundane.
Well, you booked three guests today. I didn't have time to tell you later.
I really didn't think you'd be adopting a horse yesterday, and neither did you, apparently.
Neither did I.
I guess you don't need to go to the sheriff's auction in Nevada. You just go 20 minutes down the road to the sheriff in Arizona.
Isn't that funny? I don't need no prison Mustang. I got prison horses in my neighborhood.
Did he come with a pink blanket with stripes?
No, but he did come with a purple halter.
My daily winnie goes to Equestrian Lifestyle magazine, who posted a picture that I reposted on our page yesterday. I don't know if you saw it there, Janie, of the little child and the little Shetland pony. We got more likes and more shares on that picture than we've gotten on anyone we have done. What a cute little picture. If you haven't seen it on our Facebook page, go to Horses in the Morning. It's this little child all dressed up in their proper English riding attire, probably two, maybe three years old, with this little black Shetland pony that is cute as the dickens. And leading it along, and it's just a beautiful picture, and people seem to get a kick out of it, so that's why I posted it. And I also wanted to mention that today is National Popcorn Day, so go have some popcorn today. You're a popcorn lover, aren't you? We talked about this before, I think. You really like popcorn.
No, I said I don't like popcorn, so...
Oh, you don't like popcorn. Okay, got it. So it's popcorn day. Go have some popcorn. Do you have a daily winnie, or is your daily winnie for your husband for letting you get another horse?
Yeah, you can just play that, and I'll just go ahead and finish up. Daily winnie is more of a thank you to my dear sweet husband, because they have a little pink round pin, Glenn, at the jail.
Oh, no.
It's a little teeny round pin, and all the walls are pink, and I put him in the round pin. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just see, you know, how he's going to respond. And I get him to trot. You know, the guy can't canter two steps without about, you know, falling over. He's never really cantered. So I put him in the round pin. And this is my husband off to the side of the round pin. He looks trainable. Wow, that's really good. He's doing really good, honey. He looks really trainable. He's cute, right? What do you think? I mean, like, the guy was selling me the horse.
Well, I think we learn to fake it good. You know, I do that too when we go look at horses. I have no idea what I'm saying, but boy, it sounds intelligent.
No, he was not faking it, because he actually said to me when he got home, he's like, well, I got to go fly. He's flying nights right now. He's like, I got to go fly, but I'd rather stay home and play farmer. I want to stay with our horse. I was like, me too. No, he's still having so much
That's
fun
great.
With it.
I'm
and
excited
I'm just
for you.
Thrilled. Yeah. Thank y'all.
One of those two is going to get you the Rolex. One of those two.
What, are they going to outride for me when I'm sitting there?
Yes.
That's the only way I'm riding a Rolex.
All right, our first guest is ready. Do you want to chat with her?
Why don't you go ahead and introduce her? I got to close my door here so I don't wake him up.
All right. We have Tammy Sarump. First, she's the host of the Western Radio Show. Been on here many times. And she wanted to come on here this morning to talk to Jamie a little bit about her weekend, because I think some light bulbs went off. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are things in sunny Texas?
And they're sunny. Clear skies. Fixing to saddle up some horses here. It's great.
Awesome.
Well, now you talked to me yesterday, and you said...
Because Glenn got me on here for my nonprofit, but I do have some good stuff for the weekend.
All right, go ahead. Tell us about the weekend first.
Okay, in a nutshell, I thought a trip to Florida would be fun for the Helmet Symposium, and I got there, and within the first hour, I think I shed a tear or two, you know, when I listened to everybody's stories, and so it really got me thinking, and I gave a speech about why they didn't really get into the Western world with the helmets. But I've learned a lot, and it really has changed the way I do a lot of things. And I've kind of changed some rules in the Trail Riding Association to, you know, Matt say that they have to be approved helmets and have a leather harness properly fitted, and we're dedicating a whole page to pro helmet use. And now I'm fixing to tackle my, maybe my Mounted Shooting Association. I'm sure that's going to be a harder sale, but I'm prepared.
Okay, hold on. You just ran through that awful quick. So you went to the Helmet Symposium. This is Tammy Thrantz, who I had a conversation with, and I said you could be the pioneer for helmet wearing in the Western world.
I really call
so many girls.
I call it a lecture.
Oh.
You and I had. But go ahead.
Sorry about that. Okay, so we might have had a discussion. A strongly worded discussion, a passionate discussion, if you will, about wearing a helmet. And so you went to the Helmet Symposium, and are you now wearing a helmet?
I've worn one at the house, and I'm fixing to get one that really properly fits rather than one that I had laying around, which looked like an old mushroom. But I am, when I go out and breeze my horses or lope around the track or something, I'm not going to wear one in competition just yet because I won't even change my saddle blankets, you know. And so, but I am, I've given a lot of my nonprofit girls kind of the talk, the helmet talk, and some fathers are buying them for their parents, and some of my students are now going to wear helmets to ride in competition. So baby steps.
Oh, Tammy, I'm so happy. I'm so proud. I'm not trying to be condescending at all.
But, no, you know, it's hard. And I think the thing that kind of motivated me even more when I got back, I've had terrible migraines this week, and I kind of went in to see a doctor about it, and I was in there for like 4 hours, and basically it came back that it was a syndrome from my brain injury 7 years ago, and I think about Courtney and the other people that spoke there that have a brain injury that I suffered, and I was much luckier. But, you know, it's an everyday thing that you live with every single day, and just not to take the 10 seconds to do something to prevent that is stupid. So yeah, I drank the Kool-Aid.
Tammy, I think one of the things, too, that's important that comes out in all the symposiums when you listen to the neurosurgeons talk about brain injuries is that they're cumulative.
Yeah.
The more concussions you have, the worse it gets. It's not, I have a concussion 7 years ago, and I have one today, and it's a new concussion, and it's all starting over again fresh. That's not true. That's not the way those concussions work.
Exactly. And, you know, kind of when I talked a little bit about how to get them in the Western world, I think there's a lot of ways to do it. I really think the helmet incentive that the Mustang Heritage Foundation put out was very good and really encouraged the helmets, because it kind of gives the people who are kind of on the fence that might want to do it but they don't want to look silly in the Western world, it kind of gives them an out, saying, you know, and not an excuse, but, you know, another way to put one on for the incentive. So I'm going to do the same thing in the Trail Riding Association. We really... I definitely pro helmet. One of our founders' sons has a brain injury, not from a riding accident, but from a tragic family accident. So it's very close to our hearts. So we are going to maybe have a little checkbox and entry form saying, are you wearing a helmet? And in the future, hopefully have some gifts and giveaways and stuff for people who are riding in helmets to reward that choice. So we're pretty excited about that. We had a conference about it yesterday for work. So
what a great idea. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you can become a spokesperson for this. And having had a brain injury and suffering these headaches that you're doing right now, I think, you know, no better time than the present to start letting people know how important it is. And once they see, you know, all people need in this situation is a leader. And I'm so glad that you've decided to be a leader. Without trying to sound silly, I'm just really proud of you. Great job.
Well, I think a couple of things that really ran home to me was that it's not due to inexperience. I mean, my horse flipped over backwards and crushed me because he had a OCD in its hocks and stifles and was very weak through there. So, I mean, it's not due. You can sit there and say, I'm a good rider and I ride a safe horse and nothing happens to me, but it's all the other influences that can make an accident happen. And the other thing that really was important to me was someone sat up there and they said, you think you're big enough and you're old enough to make your own decision, but do you want to have your husband or your spouse or your wife or your family or your kids sign something that they don't care if you don't ride without a helmet? Because it's not just your decision, even though you think you're old enough, you know. So those two things were pretty, you know, really good points that that put up a pretty good argument for me. So.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. I won't pick on you anymore ever again. I promise.
Alan may be a little harder sale on the Western Radio Show.
Oh, who cares about Alan? Nobody cares what Alan has to say. Blah blah blah. He just talks. Nobody listens. So, Tammy, the reason that we also had you on was, I'm sharing the love with Tammy today because I'm so excited about your nonprofit work, too. Please tell us about that.
It is. I have, I sent Glenn the link, so hopefully he'll post it on your Facebook wall, but a news crew kind of came out yesterday and done some work, actually the day before, done some work for a segment about Freedom Horses, my nonprofit that helps women who have suffered assault, rape, or any other violent crime to work with my horses. So it was really nice to have them come out, and one of the girls who actually has gone through the program was willing to share her story with Texas and the rest of the world. So it was really nice to have her have the confidence to sit up there and say, I want to share my story, and I want to see if I can help somebody because you've helped me. And it's amazing what these horses can do, and it's not about me, and it's not about anything but the ladies and these wonderful horses and just that power that the spirit of the horse can give them. So I just love my horses, and there are some days I don't feel like, giving lessons, or I don't feel like going out and helping with a nonprofit because I have a migraine or I've got too much work, but I make myself go out and do it because it's just the right thing to be kind. And you have these long-term results that they just love you and the confidence they've got, and it makes every single time you make yourself go out there and do it worth it. So I've loved these ladies, and we're quite a little sisterhood right now. but the new segment, is a really good kind of overview of the charity and what we do.
And do you have a website we can go look and read a little bit more about it?
Yep, you can go to freedomhorses.org. Or you can go to Facebook, or you can go to my website, texasshootinghorses.com. But freedomhorses.org is the main website, and I don't think the link for the news piece is on there, but it's definitely on our Facebook. So
I'm posting it now on ours, Tammy.
Oh, good, good, great. It's amazing to think that those two horses are my timed event horses, and they have to run around the arena in 10 seconds, and then you put a lady on them and put them in a snaffle, and they go walk through cowboy curtains and over poles and open gates and do all the fun little trail obstacles. And these horses are so versatile. They can go from a 10-second run to looking after a lady who doesn't know how to ride, and they're just awesome horses.
Wow, this is fantastic. Tammy, just awesome to have you on with the freedomhorses.org and then talking about the helmets, and just really proud of you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, and thanks for being such a great lady.
Oh, no problem. I have actually going out for a lesson with a jumper. So I'm not converting.
Who
I'm just
are
expanding.
You?
I am.
Who
yeah.
are you, woman? It's awesome.
One of my friends is an eventer, a wonderful eventer down here in Texas, and I've been chatting with her, and she's going to come shoot, and I'm going to go jump. So maybe I'll have to snip some pictures of the Western Radio Show climbing fences.
and there's another thing, too, Jamie, that I haven't talked to you about that sort of got out now, so I don't think she's going to be too mad at me for mentioning it, but Tammy has a boyfriend now. Seriously.
Ah, Glenn! Shame on you!
I figured I'd let her off the hook since she's been so nice recently, but now I have to know. Tell me everything. You've got 2 minutes.
Oh, Glenn. You just all have to keep the morning so interesting, aren't we?
Yeah, well, that's what we're all about here, Tammy. That's what we're all about.
Is that why you're
Tammy has a boyfriend. Tammy has a boyfriend.
Oh, my God, listen to her giggle. I mean, you just went all girly on us. You're in love.
I can't believe Glenn brought that up. I love you, Glenn.
We love you, Tammy.
Yeah. So, Tammy, everyone needs a girl or a guy who can go ahead and make sure that the guns are clean and ready for the next competition, don't they?
He cleans her guns for her, Jamie. He cleans her guns.
Oh, my God. Tammy, I'm going to call you later. I want to hear everything. We are doing the show. We got to let you go, but thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for doing the nonprofit and fantastic job on the helmets. Keep up the good work, girlfriend.
You're welcome. I will holler back at you all and check in and let you know how all our changes are going and how I go with the helmet rule and the Mounted Shooting Association, because that's pretty much about as Western as you can get.
Yeah. And, oh, my God, you better call me if you're going to get married. Hello. Oh, Jamie, in love.
I think you're out of time, Jamie.
Bye, Jamie.
Bye.
Bye, Jamie.
Oh, you threw her, man. She all, oh, my God. She, did you hear the pitch of her voice went from, and then he's going to do it.
I think she actually found herself a good guy. He seems to treat her very well. He sends her flowers all the time, and they just get along so good. So I'm very happy for her that way, too. She's waited a long time to find a good guy, so good for her.
Well, she's down in Texas. You got to find a nice Southern Texas gentleman, okay, because they send you some flowers. They'll take you out to meet their mama. They'll give you some sweet tea. They're gonna take you out for barbecue, Texas style.
I don't think she's ready to announce quite who it is yet, but to the world. But we'll probably be doing that at some point too. And he's well known in the Western world as well. Well,
oh,
our,
snap. Okay, horse guy, knew it.
There's a little tease for you. Our show today is sponsored by FindAJudge.com. It's a free resource to help you find people to work at your shows. Whether you're doing a little show in the backyard or you're running a big event. You can go to findajudge.com to find not only the judges, but the workers and the TDs and things like that are all listed there at findajudge.com. If you are a judge or a horse show worker, then you'll want to go and find a judge and sign up and become registered there, put your resume up there, put all the information, because it's an easy way for people who run horse shows to find you as well. Judges are always looking for more work. And, you know, networking only goes so far. You don't know about the new shows that are popping up. So this is the perfect place to do that networking at findajudge.com. It's the directory of horse show staff. Check it out today, findajudge.com. Well, we have coming up with us, and I don't know a whole lot about this story other than what was submitted by our listener by the name of Christina. Christina sent us this Craigslist ad. She was out looking for really bad ads and came across this one and sent it to us and said, this is a really awesome ad. You should get a hold of this girl and find out what's going on. So we did, and that's why we have Vanessa Alexander with us today. And let's say good morning, Vanessa.
Well, good morning from New Mexico.
Well, I was going to ask you where you were because I wasn't sure by this ad where you were. Well, welcome from New Mexico. We're so glad you took time out to tell us this incredible story today. Now, we have not told the audience anything, and we only know what Jennifer has told us in the ads we've read. So can you start from the beginning and tell us what happened?
Yes, God has a sense of humor.
You do, too, because your ad was funny.
Oh, I know, and I'm always getting yelled at, trust me. I'm a 911 dispatcher down here in Valencia County, New Mexico. It's a little bit just south of Albuquerque. And I am known as the resident sucker. I rodeo, I barrel race, I'm a four-time world championship qualifier. And when it comes to livestock and four-legged critters and everything in between, I usually get a phone call late at night if it's my day off to go help. And that is exactly what happened. It was about 10:30 at night. I was sitting down and actually having dinner and throwing back a couple beers with the boyfriend. We were watching the NFR rerun late at night. And one of my sergeants called me and said, there's a horse in the ditch by your place. It's been there for about 2 days, and we need to get it out. And I said, okay. I'll be over there with some hay and a bucket, and we'll see if we can track them down. If I get them tied off, and I'll try to figure out a way to get them out in the morning because it's 10:30 at night, and we had a big snowstorm. And I believe when I left my house, it was about 12 degrees out. So we get to the ditch, and my sergeant points out where the horse was, and I look down there, and it's not a horse, it's a foal, and maybe 3-4 months old tops. And I'll tell you what, I looked at him, I looked at the boyfriend, and I said, he's getting out of this ditch now. So this is a big ditch, about 16 foot, 18 foot deep, and I'm about 5'2". And it took us about 3 hours, but we caught the little monkey, and it turns out he's actually the sweetest fuzziest, cutest little dude. You just had to catch him. So that was the easy part. Now
I'll
we have to
Vanessa,
get him out
I'm
of
looking
the
at a picture. I'm looking at a picture of him here, and you're absolutely right. He is adorable.
He's adorable. I kind of called him Cupcake. So we end up finally getting him caught, and you know, by now it's late at night, early in the morning, and I've got a 16-foot straight drop and a little foal. You know, he hasn't had much to eat or drink for a couple of days, so he was pretty light. So I got a halter on him, and I got a little butt rope around him and threw that to the boyfriend. I threw the halter and the lead rope to the sergeant. We heave and hoed, and we got him out. And they
was
were
he
petting
okay?
on him.
I mean, he wasn't hurt?
He
wasn't lame or anything?
Nope. In fact, the night before, I'd remarked to the boyfriend that coyotes are pretty close. You know, what's going on? I only lived about 2 miles from where we caught him. And coyotes, you know, they come out here pretty often, but it sounded like they were up to something. And I think it was because they were staking out this little colt. So that would explain why he was friggin' wild as a March hare. But after about 3 or 4 minutes of the boys petting on the colt, I said, hello, let's get me out of the ditch next. And it took a couple minutes. It got me out of the ditch. I wish I had a couple extra hooves to get me out. So I got an awesome souvenir. I had a bruise all the way down from the top of my hip to my knee, and it was a bruise. It was quite impressive. And then I had the pleasure of walking the little monkey almost 2 miles home, and oh, it was really nice because I checked the sergeant's truck before I started walking, and it was 8 degrees out, so it was 24 degrees below freezing. I was soaking wet. I was cold. I was hungry. I'd missed the NFR.
Never happens when it's 80 degrees and sunny. Never.
Oh, yeah, it was tropical.
Yeah.
So I'm walking 2 miles home along the ditch, just, you know, muttering and cursing, and, you know, and he's just following me, just being a perfect little gentleman. I finally get home, and I have an old mare. She's 24, and she's still a nice barrel horse, still runs 2D, and you can throw a rope off her. She runs poles, and she's a 40-year-old virgin. She's never been bred, so she just adopts everything, and that's exactly what she did. So he nickered to her. She nickered to him. It was love, and I said, great. I threw him some hay. I went inside, and I went to take a shower and found that my pipes are frozen.
Oh,
it was a cold evening. So overall, that was my adventure for that evening, and everybody at dispatch calls me a sucker, and this is why.
Okay, I have never heard anybody call their old broodmare or old mare a 40-year-old virgin.
She's 24. She's gonna die a virgin.
Bless her heart. God love her.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I am kind of known for this. God's, like I said, God's got a sense of humor. Stuff like this happens. I actually have a video of one of my barn cats. My neighbor called me just in a panic because his mama rabbit had babies. I mean, literally 10 minutes old. So he picked her up, counted them, said, all right, went to the house to grab his kid. By the time he got back to the house, she'd eaten all of them except one. And so he took it out. He had no idea what to do with it. And I said, I know exactly what to do with it. And I had a barn cat that had just had a litter of kittens, so I threw him in there. And she nursed him. And and yes, I have video to prove it.
You're getting off topic because this story of, okay, the story continues because here we are.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the foal. You've got a foal that is in your backyard. And begs the question, why the hell is a foal by itself in a ditch in 8-degree weather?
Yeah, in the middle of New Mexico, of all things. Unfortunately, and again, you're going to probably bark at me going off topic again, but I've really got a problem right now with the horse slaughter issue. We are a direct path to Mexico. You know, I live here right off of I-25, and we've got two sale barns, big one off here off of Highway 6 and I-25 in Los Lunas. There's probably between 600 and 800 horses, and they're doing nothing but getting fed, and then they get loaded onto a semi-truck, and they go south. And it's terrible. At the sale barns here, you know, they're, you know, 5 donkeys for $1. You know, you're getting full-grown horses, you know, for $5. And unfortunately, you know, people are still breeding, and they're breeding great horses, and they're breeding, overbreeding even the registered horses. I mean, when I can go get a nice foal, you know, his paper at AQHA with world champion right there on his papers for $50. There's something wrong. So I don't know if someone bred these him and threw him out or he got loose, but I had him for over a month and not a peep. No one reported him missing. Livestock board, I checked in with him every day, and no one stepped forward to claim him. So unfortunately, it's kind of getting worse around here.
Okay, now in your ad, you talk a little bit about doing some DNA testing in somebody in,
yep.
in Wisconsin.
Yes, ma'am. Stolen Horse International, also known as Net Posse, it's a really, really great organization.
We love them. We love them.
I love them. They're wonderful. And there happened to have there was a foal that just fit his description to a T. The size was right. The color was perfect. The little mannerisms that she described, just everything lined up. So I sent some DNA in to UC Davis and was waiting for the owner of the Wisconsin mare to get her DNA sent in to them. Unfortunately, it came back as not a match. And I've never actually gotten any feedback from her as far as a follow-up, so I'm not really sure what happened to her foal. But I tell you what, we were all holding our breath out here, hoping this was, you know, somehow, you know, her foal from Wisconsin. You know, I guess they say stranger things have happened, but unfortunately, it didn't work out this time.
Does she want the foal? I mean, you could send it right back on up there.
Oh, you
know?
Yeah. Well, you know, we actually
talked
about that.
This would have fit the FedEx box.
Yeah, you know, you're kidding. You know, if it fits, it ships, right?
Yeah.
But, no, I never actually got any follow-up from her, and I actually had a bunch of people respond to my Craigslist ad and then some local ads. And last week I delivered him to his new family down in Viguita, New Mexico. It's about 25 minutes south of me. And they were just head over heels in love with him. So he's going to be in a great place.
Oh, good. Happy ending. Yay.
Yeah, yay. So, and my bruise is almost
That's
gone. So.
Terrific. And, you know, it looked like they, was it a little quarter horse? Could you tell? I don't know. He's so fuzzy.
You know,
you can't hardly tell what he is.
He had to, I do think he was at least part quarter horse. He sure had a lot of feathering for a quarter horse, but, you know, it was pretty cold. So I guess in about a year or two, when I see what he kind of developed into, you guys, I'll say, look, he's a moose.
I know Susan Nelson just posted on her Facebook page that she just said they dump the foals because they won't take them to the slaughterhouse. There's no meat on a foal. And unfortunately, that's probably what they did is just kicked them off the truck on the way.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, we have what I refer to as pit bull people down here. And they outlaw the cockfighting. And obviously, it's illegal to fight dogs. Doesn't mean it still doesn't get done. But when you can go and purchase, you know, horses for next to nothing, that's a pretty good way to give your dog some practice, and it's pretty disgusting. So who knows? You know, it's just I've seen it, I've heard about it. Obviously, you know, answering 911 calls for 12 hours a night, you know, 5 to 6 nights a week, and then go everything in between. I would tell you stories that would make your toes curl, and what people do out here, it's really despicable sometimes.
Wow. And I'm sure as a dispatcher, you have heard it all. And I don't want to hear those stories over breakfast this morning.
No.
I just want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate you. It sounds like you got to this foal just in time before he was coyote lunch. So, and I'm sure the little foal was very grateful you showed up and not the coyotes. It was probably the first night he hadn't been harassed. So good for you. Congratulations, and thank you for being that person that went out there and did it in 6-degree temperatures.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they call me the sucker. And and like I said, God's got a sense of humor. For some reason, these things just kind of happen to me. It's very strange.
Well, we're very happy you did it, and we're very happy that we came across your ad. It was very funny. It was very well written. And thank you so much for joining us today. That's Vanessa Alexander from New Mexico off of her Craigslist ad. And
thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for getting a nice house, nice home.
Good story. Good story. Yay.
Thank you, Vanessa.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, there's a good story for a change. We've had so many crappy stories this week, you know?
I know.
That's it.
It's like,
there's a good story.
It's a positive type day. See, they saved the horse. I got a horse. You know what? It's just deplorable how awful things are now that people, you know, they don't want to pay for hay. You know, you got 50 horses, you know, at different farms that are all starving to death. You got people dumping foals on the side of the road. What is wrong with this world? But how quick do you think somebody like that goes straight to hell when they die? Okay, I mean, geez.
And you know what? I don't worry because I know that Jamie Jennings is out there in Phoenix just taking them all in. So we're good.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to do a song, and then we're going to go right back down to the dumps today as we talk about a certain video that I posted on Facebook that has been getting more attention from horse people on Facebook than any other video. We posted it on the driving show yesterday. We posted it on our show this morning. And talk about comments. And I know we both have feelings about this certain video, too. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the song. And then we're going to get to the rule changes with the Chronicle of the Horse. I thought we'd do something a little different. You found this guy. Why don't you tell us about him a little bit, and then I'll play this unique piece for us today.
Oh, this is a guy named Jeff Dawson, and I really want to do a musical episode with him. He is a poet. He is a singer, songwriter, and he is a cowboy, and he is a comedian as well. And this is just his version of a story. You might have heard it before, but it's called Rindercella. So Jeff Dawson, poet, comedian, singer, songwriter, and Rindercella.
Cowboy. And real cowboy.
Yeah, real cowboy.
Once upon a time in a corn country, there was a very beautiful burl, and her name was Rindercella. Now, Rindercella lived with her mugly other and her two sad blisters. Now, in this same corn country, there was a very prancing hen, and he was going to have a bancy fall. So he invited people for a riles amount, especially all the pitch people. Now, Rindercella and her mugly other and her two sad blisters went out and bought themselves some drancy fesses to wear to the bancy fall. But Rindercella could not go, because all she had to wear was a bunch of old rurdy dags. Well, the night of the Bancy Fall came, and Rindercella could not go, so she just cat down and scried. Well, she was getting there scrying when all of a sudden appeared before her a fairy modgother. Now, the fairy modgother touched Rindercella with her magic wand, and all of a sudden appeared before her a Sig Boach and Hicks White sources to take her to the Bancy Fall. Now, the fairy modgother said, Rindercella, you must be home before Nidmite, or I'll turn you into a tumpkin. So Rindercella went to the Bancy Fall, and the prancing hens was waiting on her because he'd been watching her behind a wooden hinder. Well, Rindercella and the prancing hens nanced all night long, and they lell in fuss. Just before the clock struck midnight, Rindercella staced down the rares, and just before she beached the rottom, she slopped her dripper. Now, the very next day, the prancing hens went all over the corn country looking for the very beautiful burl that slopped her dripper. And he finally came to Rindercella's house. And he tried it on Rindercella's mugly other, and it fit and did. Then he tried it on her two sigly usters, and it fit and did. Then he tried it on Rindercella, and it fit did. It was exactly the sight rise. So they got married and lived heavily ever happards. Now, the story of the Maury is, if you're going to go to a corn country, and you're going to go to a Bancy Fall and loll in fuv with the prancing hens, don't forget to slop your dripper.
That was Jeff Dawson. You can find all of his stuff at cowboypoetry.com, and you'll find all kinds of other good stuff over there. That's a new term here now for horses in the morning, slop your dripper. I think we ought to keep
okay.
that.
Yeah, I like that. That's funny. I don't care who you are. I laughed out loud a couple times, and I've even heard it. Don't slop your dripper. Love it.
Not exactly a song, but fun nonetheless. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. The Coach Jen is the producer chair. And this episode is sponsored by FindAJudge.com. The Horse Radio Network highlight show of the day is the Dressage Radio Show, episode 139. It's Global Dressage Analytics is what it's titled, and she had a guest on by the name of Wayne Shannon, who was with a Princeton physicist, David Strickland, and they talked about dressage scoring, and they tried to unravel some of the mysteries behind dressage scoring. Jennifer listened to it, said it was a very good show, so you can check it out at horseradionetwork.com. Just look for Dressage Radio, episode number 139. Well, I wanted to talk to you about this video, Jamie. You got to watch it this morning, and what it is, it's a video from a country pleasure driving class, and it was on YouTube. It's been making the rounds on Facebook and getting a huge amount of comments. And to describe what happens, it's a driving class with Arabians, and they're going, you've probably seen driving classes like this where there's basically a sulky cart that's behind the Arabians, and they're doing this little driving class. It's sort of a pleasure driving class where they all go around together, and they do walk trot, and they then reverse course and go around the other side. And, well, something went wrong in this class in that one of the Arabians decided to bolt. Dumped his driver and ended up taking off around the ring. But not just, you know, usually when that happens, the horse goes around once or twice, slows down, stops, and that's the end of it. This horse just kept going and going until it finally broke the cart away, and then it had the harness hanging down, and it was going, and it was, you know, we'll talk about what the people were doing, but it was going, it finally turned in toward the middle and crashed straight head into one of the other horses that by this time had stopped all in the middle trying to figure out what to do. And this horse just went for minutes and finally crashed dead on into, they T-boned another one of the horses that was still in its rig and went down, and they managed to catch the horse. Well, the horse that got T-boned then takes off with his carriage, and the whole thing starts all over again. It was just one of those scenes where you're cringing watching the whole thing. So you have to check it out. It's on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and I posted it this morning. There's already 16 comments on it. And the comments are mostly, what would you do? What they did, what all these people in the ring, and the way these are set up is there's fencing in the middle, and the judges and the officials and everybody actually sit inside the fencing in the middle of the ring, and they do all the judging from inside the ring. So there's a number of people in there. And what they all decided to do when the horse broke away and got loose was try and chase down the horse, which, and yell and scream, which caused it all to, this horse wasn't going to stop at all, no matter what. Now, it was an Arabian. I understand that if they had just stood calmly and wait for it to run out, it could have done 1,000 laps before it ran itself out. But I don't know. What do you think? What was your first reaction when you watched the video, Jamie?
Well, first reaction is, what do you do when a horse that you're riding on the rail starts to get too fast? You pull your outside rein and you turn it into the fence. And he did not do that. He just kept pulling back and pulling back. So to me, that was the first thing. Second thing is, I'm looking at these people, and these are idiots. Like, this is the worst collection of people trying to stop a runaway. I mean, when it happens, you know, loose horse, everybody screams, everybody runs towards it. These people are jumping in front of a galloping horse with blinders on, with blinkers on, okay? It is ridiculous how poor these are. Second of all, get every horse out of the arena. Then they crush over the old man who jumps in front of them. People are barely getting out of the way. This is a disaster, is what this is. And I don't care how much training. Huh?
It was. I agree.
It's embarrassing. And then to have all these people, if everybody would just get in the middle and stand still, and they're all screaming and whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm sorry, when has whoa, whoa, whoa ever stopped a horse? Never. Okay. Panicked yelling is not going to stop a horse. Then the other horse gets hit. Then she starts galloping away. And of course, everybody starts chasing that horse. It is just pathetic, the attempts to stop this horse. I have apparently a little opinionated about it. Get out of the arena!
Well, you aren't the only one. You've seen some of the comments. So, now, you know, one of the things I said, too, right away is, why aren't they getting the other horses out of the ring? Now, we're looking at, we do have to say this. We are looking at this in hindsight. We have time to think about all of this. I have never seen something go this awry in a ring with carriages or not carriages before. This was just awry. And so they, you know, I'm sure there wasn't a whole lot of thinking. They didn't want the horse to get out the gate, I'm sure. Although he might have done less damage outside the gate. I don't know what was out there. But they could have probably snuck the other horses and carriages out. I did notice that the drivers were smart enough, some of them, to get off and hold their horses and not be on the rig. Because that's the last place you want to be in a situation like that, because you actually have less control than you do holding the horse's head. It was just something else. It was wild. Now, Jennifer, you watched a follow-up to this on Animal Planet, right?
Yes, Animal Planet did a segment on... They have a couple of different shows on there, wacky and crazy things that animals do with people and such. And they interviewed the driver of the chestnut horse that started this downward spiral of chaos, as well as several other people who were involved in the incident. And in hindsight, what they think happened is there was a bee's nest inside the wall of the arena, because each horse that would go past that section of the arena would act in an irritated fashion. And apparently the bees got irritated enough that his is the horse that got stung. And having ridden a number of horses who have been stung by swarms of bees, you can hit them in the head with a hammer, and it's not going to stop them. Once they've been stung like that, they're out of there, and just please get out of the way. Now, there's lots of other things that went wrong, obviously, that perhaps could be improved upon. But the horse that falls, he was fine. All the horses apparently were fine in the incident. Nobody was seriously injured. One of the people who was run over or fell out of their carriage had a broken hip. The gentleman who
was like, guarantee it was the old guy that got run over.
No, it wasn't. He was fine. All he had was some bruises.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the, yeah, but the whole way through that, I just kept asking myself, wouldn't clear the arena have come to their, that's what just kept coming to my fore. It's like, get everybody out and just let the horse run it out. He'll be fine. Just let him run around and hurt himself if he needs to, and just get everybody else out of the ring.
Okay, seriously, first of all, Jennifer, I've used the whole, oh, my horse bucked me off because he got stung by a bee excuse before. I mean, that's stupid. Second of all, at the end of it, they start to try to lasso it. This is a country pleasure driving Arabian class. Who knows how to lasso? Certainly not the guy that threw the rope, because he didn't get anywhere close to it.
Well, I don't know if that was a good idea either, but... eventually, it all came out, and nobody was injured in a fatal manner. But, yeah, this will give lots of horse folks lots of good conversations around the water cooler for the next couple of weeks. Bizarre.
You know what?
I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
If there's anybody in this entire disastrous situation that we should be grateful for, it is the person that did not stop filming the entire time.
Do you know how many views this has had? It's up to 611,000. It's gone up like 100,000 in a day. Everybody involved in this is embarrassed, because this is going viral big time.
I wish they would zoom in on their faces a little more so I could point and laugh at them. You guys are idiots. You're idiots. I mean, this is just so poor. It was just poorly done. Is the horse up at the end? The last horse falls down and laying there. Get the horse up. A horse that has been galloping for 10 minutes should not be laying sternal, you know, or not be laying on its side for that long. Get him up. Get him walking around. Oh, here comes the ambulance. I'm watching it as we're talking. This is just so stupid. This is so stupid. Very poorly
done. Check it out.
Done.
Check it out on Facebook. And, boy, oh, boy, it's interesting. If you don't have Facebook, you can just search, go to YouTube, and search for Country Pleasure Driving Class Gone Wrong. You'll find it there. There you go. All right, let's get to the Chronicle Report and see what Lisa has to talk to us about today.
Is Lisa with us already?
Yep, she's ready to go.
Lisa, have you seen this video? Good morning, by the way.
No, I have not. I was kind of wanting to see it while you guys are talking about it.
You're going to be amazed.
Don't play it in the background during this interview with you because you will not be able to finish a train of thought because here
okay.
I am watching it going, I hate that. You're stupid. Stop. Really, people? Seriously. Okay. Yeah. If you post this on the forum, on
yes.
y'all, on the Chronicle forum, oh, can you imagine
oh.
the venom that will be spewing from those women?
Oh, man. There's already plenty of venom to go around on there.
Oh. I do want to say one thing. You know, what some of the venom is directed at the fact that these are Arabians. This can happen to any kind of horse. We've all had horses that have gotten spooked and they just lose their bonkers.
Yeah.
This is not, you know. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. So, Lisa, you came on today to talk to us about the rule changes from the USEF meeting. I know you guys have an article about it posted on chronofhorse.com.
Yep.
So kind of give us the synopsis, the overview, if you will.
Let's see. So I'm not sure. Have you guys talked about the one fall rule a lot? Because if you have, then I will skip over that.
We touched on it, but so basically some people are trying to get the one fall rule to go away, and some people are in support of it, and it might
yep.
be forever before we figure something out, right?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that, because I sort of thought heading into the convention there'd been a lot of support behind changing it, like the British Eventing Society. They changed theirs back a couple of years ago because they found that it wasn't really increasing injuries for people to get back on and keep competing. So I sort of thought heading into the convention that it might pass, that next year I might be able to fall off my horse and then get back on and keep riding. But it didn't. There was a lot of discussion about it, and in the end they decided to keep the rule as it is, where if you fall off, you're automatically, on cross country, you're automatically eliminated. So that was kind of interesting. There were good arguments on either side, and I can absolutely see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that came up a couple of times was a few months ago, there was a woman, Amy Canaston. I don't know if you heard about this. She was competing in a 100-jumper class. Her horse bolted. He veered at the rail. She came off pretty hard. She got off and walked out of the ring. She was sort of laughing and joking with her friend. She took her horse back to the barn. She, you know, untacked him and then started feeling a little bit bad, and she went to the EMT. And at that point, I guess she was throwing up, and they said, okay, we need to get you to the hospital. And she died later that night. And that was one of the things that came up, is that when you fall off, you may feel okay immediately. There may be injuries, you know, that could be potentially very serious that you aren't aware of yet, things like brain bleeds or severe concussions. You know, it's just hard to tell, and it would be the jump judge deciding if you were okay to go on. And that's a lot of responsibility to put on someone who's likely not medically trained. I mean, I've jump judged, and
yeah.
I know nothing about if people are fit to continue.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine sitting there as a jump judge? You got your, like, Jack Russell Terrier with you. You're sitting out there. You got an iced tea. You get a little umbrella. You're watching horses go by. Somebody
yeah.
falls off, and they're like, can I finish? You're like, hell if I know. I mean,
you look all right. You're not bleeding anywhere I can see.
Exactly. Not medically trained. So, yeah, that would be tough. So
yeah.
I can certainly understand where the discrepancy comes in on keeping it. So enough about that. We're going to always be talking about that, I think. What other rule changes happened?
There were some small ones. Things like pony jumpers can't use draw reins or a German martingale. If
Thank God.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, logical. Dr. Bristol bits are no longer allowed in dressage. I don't know. I don't know any people that really use them in dressage anyway, so that probably doesn't apply.
Wait. I have a Dr. Bristol bit. That's what I use. Why?
Well, you're not allowed to use it anymore. In competition, you can use it as much as you want at home.
Oh, okay, hold on. In competition, I cannot use a Dr. Bristol, which is like it basically looks like a, like mine is a full cheek Snapple,
yep.
but it's got a little link in the middle to make it not so hard on my horse's palate, you know?
Yeah.
So I would think that that would be a little nice, but Mylar level 2-bit and a variety of Snapples with rotating parts are now allowed.
Yeah, but it's kind of odd. Supposedly, the thing with the Dr. Bristol is that the middle piece is longer,
the
and
middle
so
piece
it can
longer as well as canted at a specific angle. Yeah.
So it can make it a little bit tougher on, I guess, the bars of the mouth. I think you can still jump in it though if you want to. You just can't hear yourself in it.
Is that a venting rules? I don't really care because but my Dr. Bristol is actually quite softer than. Anyway, all right. Well, I'll just have to go get a French link.
It's softer
yeah,
than her twisted wire.
For a French
bit.
Link.
It's softer than that one.
But. Wait, and of course, you can ride in a double twisted wire and the Hunter ring, but you can't use a Dr. Bristol in a dressage class. God.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit odd. I guess.
My horse loves
I don't actually
fit.
Know.
Loved it. I barely touch him. I mean, I don't have to. I mean, he's very soft anyway. But good Lord, is it? It was like the one thing I put in his mouth where he wasn't throwing his head, you know, and mad. He's like, oh, okay, I like this one. This is good.
Well, maybe he'll have to petition next year to have them reinstated.
Oh yeah, there you go. I'll petition.
He can go out there with a little
my...
fine.
Anyway, that's weird. I just didn't know that those were considered particularly harsh. But you know, whatever. Carry on.
So let's see. If you're a side saddle rider, you used to be able to wear your top hat in the under saddle class. You're no longer allowed to do that. You have to now wear a helmet.
Helmets, baby.
Helmets are the thing. You know, helmets are coming. It's also now if you're at a Hunter Jumper Show and you're just hacking around the showgrounds, you have to wear an approved helmet then as well.
Oh, is that true for all levels or not?
I think, I mean, it's just, I guess, USCF competitions if you're at, you know, some...
But, all the levels, it's not just the kids. Adults have
yeah,
to
no, it's everyone. Yep. Any age.
Good.
And any level. Yeah. Which I didn't honestly know, to show my ignorance, I didn't know that wasn't a rule. I assumed you did
oh,
have to
you,
wear one already.
You just go around, you just go to any show at the Kentucky Horse Park and see them riding around. None of them wear a helmet until they walked into the ring.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. So, good. Another clap.
Those people in that video needed helmets. My God. Driving, you have to wear helmets for that yet?
So there's also, I don't know, the amateur rule is a thing that is, I feel like every year there is a change to the amateur rule. It is so complicated and so tricky, and they changed it again this year. They just changed the wording around. It's supposed to clarify things a little bit more. But, I mean, I don't know, you know, going through the results of...
You mean who is considered an amateur and who is considered a professional?
Yep. That is like, that is such a topic. And so many people still...
I have never been able to figure that out. And I don't think half the people that are professionals or amateurs can figure it out.
Yeah, no, I think that is absolutely true. I mean, every year we see in results people I know who are working students who are riding as amateurs. And if you're a working student, that absolutely disqualifies you. But a lot of people think, you know, if you're not getting paid, if you're just getting lessons in return for working or just getting bored for your horse, that it doesn't count. But it does count.
It does?
It does.
Really?
Yep. If you're a working student, you cannot be an amateur.
Okay, that's crazy. I
yeah.
had no idea.
But I know. It's one of those things that no one knows. So that's interesting. There are other funny things, too, like galloping racehorses. I think that disqualifies you from being an amateur as well.
Well, you get paid to ride.
Anytime you're getting paid to ride. And I think, although someone else might have to check this or I'll check it, like in Great Britain, if you do what I do, which is work as an equine journalist, you're not considered an amateur, which is funny because, you know, I'm the very definition of an amateur. And no one would pay me to ride.
Unless you are actually writing the stories on your horse, I don't get that one.
I don't get that either. That's not in the U.S., though, fortunately, because Man, I would like to keep my amateur status because I've
earned
it.
You know, they
it.
Really haven't made a convenient way to mount the laptop the horse's mane. So until
That's
they do
true.
That, you're really not working while you're on the horse.
Maybe that could be a good get-rich scheme for someone out there.
You know,
iPad mount there for the horse.
Yeah, that would be nice.
All right. Well, back to the amateur thing, Glenn. Keep you on track, Lisa. So I don't understand. When you're not allowed to be a working student, you're not allowed to work for your education, you're not allowed to, what do you have to be, a trust fund baby? You have got to be a trust fund baby to be an amateur rider. Is that what I'm getting?
Or, you know, a person who has a job, or you can't make money. You just can't make money riding. You can make money, you know, doing any other number of things.
Working students don't make money. I mean, I'm not arguing with you because it's not your rule.
No, sorry,
but
I spoke it's not. It's not necessarily even receiving money. It's receiving some sort of compensation.
Oh, wait. I have to interject here because my blood pressure is about to explode. Every member of every United States equestrian team that has competed in the Olympics for the past 25 years is a professional rider. They run a barn. That's how they feed themselves, and that's how they put gas in their car. But they're an amateur, but a working student is a professional?
No, the Olympic amateur thing changed a while ago. So you no longer have to be an amateur to compete in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
because that's why you had professional basketball players playing basketball in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So for the Olympics, who qualifies and who doesn't is different than every other international competition?
No, it's the same.
It's the same, but they're all professionals.
Yeah, they're all professionals.
That's just bizarre. I'm sorry.
It's very complicated. I would recommend that you go to USEF.org because, man, I can't fully explain all the different things. And, you know, we also ran a story a couple of years ago sort of demystifying the amateur role, and I will try to find that online.
Yeah, post that
and
on
post it
page.
On the Facebook because it's pretty interesting. Molly Bailey did it, and she did a great job.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So what else?
Well, thanks. Is there anything else that we should touch on?
Those were the big ones. Again, you can go to there's a link in the story that's on our website, but it's rulechanges.usef.org, and you can see all the rule changes that were proposed and the ones that passed and the ones that didn't. But there's always tons of them. Like, you know, they'll change the whip rule from 50 centimeters to 58 centimeters or whatever. That would be a really short one. That's not it. But
basically,
like
there's always a million easy ways to get eliminated is what I'm hearing. What's too long?
Yes.
You're done. You fell off. You're done. They're just figuring out more ways to eliminate you. And it's probably all for the best.
But I have to say, like, if I go to an event and I have a question, like, is my whip too long? Can I use this bit? If you track down the TD, you know, if you go to the office and say, hey, I have a question for the TD, they will track them down for you. And they do try to help you. They're not deliberately trying to eliminate you. If you have questions, they will answer them. It's just a matter of making sure you ask the questions.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lisa. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye.
That's Chronicle of the Horse at chronofhorse.com. And apparently, when we get back to that, Aubrey Miller posted that video was posted on the Chronicle forums a few years ago when it came out. And I'm sure that if you went back and found that post, it would be an interesting conversation.
Man. Horrible. That's just horrible. But on a side note, I would like to point out that when we posted the picture of the new little horse that I got, who, by the way, needs a name, Susan Nelson went on and did the pedigree research because this little horse that I adopted does have papers that they found in the house when they rifled through his belongings. They found the papers and he is his name is Ride the Bench. I think I'm going to change everything because it's like a whole new life. He needs a whole new start. Life's been horrible. We're going to start over.
I like some of the names here that Susan Nelson, like Diamondback or Pinch Hitter. I like Diamondback.
Yeah. Well, I see, except for the fact that I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, so I cannot name something after another baseball team. It just won't happen. So, but I think we may stick along with the whole fighter jet kind of way, like F-16 or I don't know. But the horse's name in jail was B-322, so it's not like he had.
Isn't there a B-15 or something bomber?
Yeah, like a B-17. There's a B-17 bomber.
B-17. Just faint a little
there
bit.
You go. I think I'm just going to clear it all up. But she posted his bloodlines, and I kind of knew a little bit about it, but I didn't realize this horse has got some awesome bloodlines. So he's by a horse named Benchmark, who is a stallion that stands in California, and his dam is She Flies Tonight. No big deal. You look at his granddaddy, Aladar, is his granddaddy, and nowhere in his line is there a chestnut. And I thought immediately when I got him, I said, gosh, he looks an awful lot like Aladar, and it's his granddaddy. And then Capote, who was a horse that stood at Three Chimneys forever, is his granddaddy, his great-granddaddy, a Seattle Slew and Raise a Native and Danzig, all these awesome horses. So I'm very excited to have a four-year-old that is by all these great horses who may only look like he's two. So we have some catching up to do. But I'm thanks, Susan, so much for posting that. That's awesome. And keep the names coming. I need names.
We could come up with a few, but you wouldn't like them.
Well, remember when I let our listeners help me name Zenyatta, my puppy, and everybody was like, oh, you have to name her Zenyatta. So that one won. I wonder if we could post his little mugshot and say, okay, it's the naming contest. Let it begin.
There you go. You could.
Do you think the listeners would help? They do. Yeah.
Yeah, they would, I would say. Yeah. It would be great. I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Let's do it.
And don't forget to get your really bad ads in. We don't have enough this week. We're not even going to have really bad ads tomorrow. I know Craigslist was a little injured yesterday with the blackout. So get your really bad ads in today and get them over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We need the really bad ads. We need them back.
No bad ads?
Really bad.
No, we don't have any or we're not doing them tomorrow?
Well, we don't have enough to even do it tomorrow, so we need to get them in. It's been a slow week for really bad ads, so. We're begging and pleading. Jennifer, you could post that on Facebook that we're desperate for really bad ads. Get on Craigslist and get us some ads today.
What's the prize?
I think we're giving away one of the signed Horse Radio Network hats. We haven't given away one in a while, and they're always very popular, so we're going to give one away. Signed Horse
Yay.
Radio Network hat.
Awesome.
All right, and I have a good story for you. You know, we've had all of these bad stories this week. I have a good one for you, and this was out of North Carolina. This lady bought a 15-year-old thoroughbred when the horse was just 3 years old. The horse is 15 now. And they grew up together. She was a kid, and they grew up together. And after graduating from college, she and her friend decided to take a road trip for a period of time. So she arranged for a woman in New Jersey to look after her horse, this thoroughbred named Burma, like the island Burma. And when they got back from the road trip, guess what? The woman and the horse were gone. Her business was gone. Her phone numbers were disconnected. Everything was gone. This lady had disappeared. For 7 years, she had no idea what happened to her horse. And needless to say, she was devastated. And, well, 7 years after this horse and this woman disappeared, all changed when a friend told her to check out a link on Facebook to a horse rescue in Connecticut. And when she went on to the horse rescue in Connecticut, she couldn't believe what she saw in a video on there. She said, I was crying hysterically. I called. I am this crazy woman on the phone saying, you have my horse. And I told her the story. It was an exciting day. Burma, this is what happened to Burma after this wacko woman. We have wacko women all over this week. Burma rescued Burma was rescued from an auction where she was set to be slaughtered by this agency in Connecticut. She was shocked to find out that the horse was sold to the auction by a testing facility where she spent 5 years being bred over and over again to test other stallions for diseases. And what happens when they do that, apparently, I may be naive or maybe I just don't know what goes on in the horse world, but I'd never heard of this. All of her offspring were aborted. They apparently just abort the babies then, except for one. And the last time she was tested, they did not successfully abort her, so she carried the baby to full term, and the baby died. She said Burma was recovered from the birth and now is back in good health, and this woman has her horse back after 7 years. I'm sure she thought she was never going to see this horse again, but the power of Facebook is what brought this horse back to her. Isn't that an amazing story?
Oh, my God. So this woman had her horse stolen by a farm sitter and sold to a laboratory testing facility. I don't know, but that whole testing thing is really horrible. I mean, I don't know why they would do something like that. Maybe I'm naive about all of it, too. But 7 years of that. Oh, poor thing. Can you imagine?
I know. You know what, whether it's humans or horses or dogs, what that kind of punishment does to a woman's system. She took a toll mentally and physically by being there, but she's back in good hands again, back with her mommy. So good job finding Burma. And thanks to her friend who happened to see it and went, I know that horse.
Wow.
So,
and that's amazing.
The agency, it doesn't say the name of the agency, or I'd give them a shout out in Connecticut. It doesn't really say the name of the agency. I don't have that here, but good for them for saving it from the auction.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, that's fantastic. Good for them. The other horse story, I love, Glenn, when we read stories that are written by non-horse people. And
I know which one you're going to do, too.
You know, you just sometimes they use descriptions about horses that are so blatantly non-horsey that it's funny. This article, do you want to do it because you found it?
That's okay. It's out of Australia. And the reason I found it so funny was the title. So the title caught my eye. Title did what it's supposed to do. It says, Really Big Horse Fell on Woman. That's the title, Really Big Horse Fell on Woman. And I'm going, holy crap, this woman was riding a Percheron that weighed 2,000 pounds or a great big Clydesdale or whatever, and the horse fell over on her. And when that happens, it really hurts. So I got to just read part of this story. The weight of a really big horse, in quotes, has been blamed for causing serious injuries to a woman on the Noosa's North Shore on the weekend. The Action Rescue Helicopter came to the aid of the woman who suffered injuries after the horse she was riding fell on her. The 40-year-old woman was walking her racehorse when it reared up, sending the woman off its back. The horse, standing over 15 hands, also toppled back, landing on top of the woman. Now that's a rotational fall, and that's never good. And, you know, that hurts no matter what the size of the horse. But then they went on to talk about the really big horse about 12 more times in the article. It was a really big horse. The weight of the horse was a real problem. Okay. It was a 15-hand racehorse. It weighed 700 pounds. Now, that still hurts. I'm not saying that doesn't hurt. But the article, just the way it was written, made it sound like this was a 2,000-pound monster.
Now, let me just point out something, that I don't think this was a racehorse. Because what woman that's 40 years old has a current in-training racehorse that rides it down to the beach where the horse would then rear up and fall over her? So we bless her heart for getting hurt. But, yeah, the fact that it was a really, really, really big, huge 15-hand racehorse, just entertaining. Just a very good find on the story. The woman is going to be fine, by the way. I got a racehorse story for you, but it's actually about a real racehorse. And a horse that if it lived or raced in the United States would definitely have been Horse of the Year. Of course, I'm talking about none other than Black Caviar. The six-year-old mare runs in Australia. 6 years old, 16-0. Okay, I mean, this is they're calling her the Australian Zenyatta. She's amazing. Well, she has never left Australia. However, Peter Moody, who is her trainer, has now decided to run her in Dubai. again, we were talking about yesterday, Animal Kingdom is going over to Dubai to run in one of the races. Not the same one, because Black Caviar is a sprinter. So she's going to run in a couple different of the races. She's going to run in possibly the Golden Shaheen, and she will clash with another Australian sprinter, Sepoy, who is amazing as well. So what I didn't realize, though, is that the horse, is, did it say that both horses are owned by Sheikh Mohammed or just Sepoy? I think just Sepoy is. So all Australians want to see her run against Sepoy, who is owned by Sheikh Mohammed, who lives in Dubai. So this could be like an international disaster. You've got the Sheikh Mohammed's fast horse running against the Australian national horse. Does this not sound like Black Beauty or the Black Stallion, where like the horse from the island came up against all of the greatest horse races in the United States and beat them all? And
well, it sounds like Seabiscuit. Don't you wish they would do a match race? I would love to see match races again, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes it depends on who it is. But Black Caviar can beat everybody, so it wouldn't even matter. And I hope that Black Caviar, the Australian super horse, goes out there and kicks the tail off of the horses, the Dubai racehorses.
Yay, Black Caviar. All right, we'll cover that.
Girl.
We'll make sure we do. Now, Sprinter, how long a race is that? Do you know?
I believe it is 6 furlongs.
So it's like
not
3/4 of the way around the track?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to Google that and see how long 6 furlongs is here, because I think it's they're an eighth of a mile. So
I know,
whatever.
But you're talking quarter horse sprinters, that's a whole different story. I mean, that's why I was asking. I wasn't sure the length.
Well, these are not Black Caviar is a thoroughbred. So she is not a quarter horse racer. Right. Gotcha. Yeah, so
I didn't know
we'll
what the
definitely
length was.
Yeah, she runs in basically just 6 furlong races, and it is, I Googled it, and it is 1.207008 kilometers. I don't want it in kilometers. Thank you, Google. That's fantastic. 6 furlongs. How much of a mile is that? I believe that it's only less than a mile, quite a bit less than a mile. Go ahead. I don't know. Go ahead and throw up how long 6 furlongs is, Susan Nelson, because I know you'll have it in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, because we don't know. We have no idea. How many? Is it 3/4 of the racetrack? Is it half the racetrack? That's what I want to know. That's how I can relate.
Yeah, gotcha. No, I think it's 3/4. One turn. One turn around the track, Glenn.
All right. Get your really bad ads in for tomorrow. Don't forget all the shows on the Horse Radio Network are coming out. The driving radio show's out. Eventing's out. Dressage is out for the week. So you can find them all at horseradionetwork.com. Next week, we will be here 4 days. And then on Friday, we're going to have a recorded show. So you have to get your really bad ads in so we can do one tomorrow. Because next week, we're not doing one. Because we're going to be on our way to Philadelphia for the ADA show. So we're going to be doing that. We'll put a special recorded episode up next Friday. And then the week after that, I think you're heading out to a show in California. So we're hoping to get you live from that show. So that'll be cool. So we have lots of fun over the next couple of weeks. Join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. live here on Horses in the Morning. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody. And thank you, Gopher Coalition, for trying to name my new horse Gopher It. that will not be
I
his
like
name.
That.
Thank you very
hey,
much.
How many
everybody.
Gophers are you up to? What's the gopher count?
What?
What's the gopher count? Gopher count.
21.
Really?
21 dead gophers in the traps, and we are, I think that the rest of them have scattered. I might have gotten it under control.
Woohoo! Gophers are gone. Name your new horse, Gophers Are Gone.
Gophers are gone. Spay, neuter, and geld, people.
Hey, Jamie, stop your dripper.
Susan Nelson said it's 3/4 of a mile.
That helps.